Hello there, Steve Bloomfield here. Thank you very much for downloading the Foro Desk. We really do appreciate it. Before we begin, I just wanted to let you know about a new programme we're doing on the US presidential election. It's called The Global Election, and as the name suggests, we'll be looking at the international impact of the US vote. We won't talk about the latest polls in Ohio, Donald Trump's most recent offensive statement, or any of Hillary Clinton's supposed gaffes. Instead, we'll have real experts talking about real issues. The economy, terrorism, climate change, the Middle East, China, and more. You can find The Global Election on iTunes, SoundCloud, Monocle.com, and wherever you normally find your podcasts. I hope you like it. Now, back to the Foreign Desk. Hello and welcome to the Foreign Desk Explainer on Monocle 24. I'm Steve Bloomfield. In this episode, Monocle's contributing editor, Andrew Muller, asks, Britain and Iran, friends again?
Earlier this month, British Airways resumed their direct route between London and Tehran. The UK's flag carrier now plans to operate 6 flights a week. It is a significant step in an ongoing rapprochement between the two countries and is therefore to be welcomed. But if one bets with historical form, and if one will indulge the clangingly obvious analogy, it would seem prudent to anticipate further turbulence.
Iran and Britain have agreed to raise their diplomatic relations to the ambassador level and exchange envoys for the first time since bilateral ties soured in 2011.
The British Foreign Secretary Philip Hammond has reopened the UK embassy in Tehran after nearly 4 years.
The first direct flight by a British airline between London and Tehran is due to take off in the next hour.
Britain and Iran have, it is fair to say, a complicated relationship with ample grounds for suspicion and resentment on both sides. Iranians, especially those who long for the secular democracy which might have been, still blame Britain for its complicity in the 1953 coup d'etat in which the CIA orchestrated the overthrow of Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh, substantially to protect the interests of the Anglo-Iranian oil company. Iranians who support the Islamic Republic the country became dislike Britain for its closeness to the United States, regarding it as the little Satan to America's great Satan. The British, meanwhile, might reasonably observe that the Iranian state once offered a bounty for the murder of one of the UK's most distinguished novelists, and more recently that Iran was training and equipping the Shia militias blowing up British soldiers in Basra. Or that Iran abnegated its responsibility to protect the UK's embassy in Tehran when it was ransacked by an angry mob in 2011, especially given that when the shoe was on the other foot, more or less, back in 1980, Britain sent its elite SAS special forces to reclaim Iran's embassy in London from Iranian Arab hostage takers. Or even that Britain was the butt of one of the few decent practical jokes ever perpetrated by Islamic militants when Iran renamed the Tehran street on which the British embassy is located after IRA hunger striker Bobby Sands. However, as was once immortally observed by a British Prime Minister, Lord Palmerston, who as it happened presided over the Anglo-Persian War of 1856, nations have no permanent friends and no permanent allies, only permanent interests. And it might now be the case that British and Iranian interests on a number of fronts overlap sufficiently that the two countries can, if not become actual friends, then pretend not to dislike each other to the benefit of both.
So on behalf of the British government, I'm proud to declare this embassy once again open. Thank you.
The most obvious enticements are commercial. Iran represents a huge customer base, near enough to 80 million people, which has been kept away from market for years by sanctions and general international animus, which also means that there is a great deal of potentially profitable catching up to be done. More intriguingly, there may be political imperatives driving these two traditional political antagonists politically closer together. Among the many side effects of the mayhem that has consumed the Middle East in the 21st century has been a huge expansion of Iranian influence. Either directly or through proxies such as Hezbollah, Tehran's voice is now a significant, if not the significant, noise in several Arab capitals, Beirut, Baghdad, Sana'a, and Damascus. And it just may be a occurring to Britain as well as the wider West that Iran, especially a more democratic Iran, which is far from impossible as its overwhelmingly youthful population comes of age, might eventually prove a more reliable, constructive and transparent regional partner than the obdurately irreformable Saudi Arabia. And Iran would have its reasons for helping Britain paint over the Death to England graffiti as renovations to the now reopened Tehran embassy are completed. Iran yearns, as do many nations cursed by insecure institutions, for the safety of being able to do business with Britain's financial sector. And more importantly, for its hopes of re-engaging with the world, Iran may realise that there would be no better potential mediator between it and the great Satan than little Satan.
That was Monocle's contributing editor, Andrew Muller, with this week's Foreign Desk Explainer. Tune in this Saturday when I return with the full 30-minute edition of the Foreign Desk. I'm Steve Bloomfield. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.